Let us return to 1 Peter, to chapter 5, and we'll choose there our text, verse 4. 1 Peter, chapter 5, at verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. The title I want to give to our meditation this night is Crown of Glory. Crown of Glory. In a few days, Glasgow will be the centre of the world in some sense. We are anticipating the Commonwealth Games with all that will fall as a result of it. We expect much of the world's media to be here, and many people will watch events on the television screens throughout the world. It will be a time of great influx of visitors, and to some extent Glasgow will be transformed, and it will be the centre of attention in various countries in the world. And you will obviously know that these athletes will have come from all the Commonwealth nations, and many of these athletes will have been training for their particular event over a number of years. In fact, it's very possible that some athletes will be training and preparing for this Games and for this Games only. Maybe this is going to be their great opportunity and great chance to make something in the sporting world. And you can be sure that if they're serious, if they're dedicated, they have been training for the last 4 years, maybe the last 8 years. They have been training for their particular event or events. And they do hope that their fitness and all that they have put into their training programs will bear fruit. And on that day when they go to partake in whatever event they partake in, they are hoping that all their effort, all their diet, all their training, all that their lifestyle has dedicated to, they are hoping that it will bear fruit. And for that time, when they take part in that event, they are heading towards, we might say, the end, the goal, and they will run whatever with a single mind, determined to go to the end, to be there first. And they're hoping that all that they have sacrificed over these years will bear fruit for a few moments, and that they might break the tape first, and that they might hear the claps and the applause of all around them, that they would receive glory from men for what they hope to achieve. Well, friends, in the light of this fact that many people indeed deprive themselves and go to great lengths to partake of sporting events in order that they might succeed and that they might get a gold medal at the end, and that they might receive the accolades of men, we must understand and apply this to ourselves. Because if we are Christians, we are in a race. And we are heading towards an end. And the Bible says that the Christian, the man of God and the woman of God, they will receive a crown of glory. And as you look at sportsmen or women, and as you see their dedication, sometimes does it not put us to shame to see what they will do to receive the applause of men and to receive a gold medal and to be popular and famous for a season, it should stir the Christian up, that we would fight the good fight of faith, and that we would run the race set before us, determined to receive the crown of glory. For this is what this is talking about here. When the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now, Peter was talking to Christians that were scattered throughout the known world at that time. And as was common for early first century Christians, they were being persecuted for their faith. And he was reminding them that no matter the persecution that might come upon them, they are to have Jesus Christ as their example, and they're to follow him, and that they're to live the Christian life, and they are to have this goal and end when they might receive the crown of glory. Well, with that brief introduction, I want us to look at this text, and I want us to derive three things from it for our edification tonight. The first thing that comes to us surely from this text is the return of the Lord. Does it not say that? When the chief shepherd shall appear. This is a direct reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the chief shepherd. He is ultimately the one who looks after all his people. And we know that's a term that is used of his people, that they are called sheep, and he is the great shepherd. But this verse is telling us, friends, he shall appear. And we must realize this as we fight the Christian life, as we go through this pilgrimage here, that we must realize there's going to come a day when the Lord Jesus shall return. I want you to notice first and foremost here how positive this statement is. There's no ifs, there's no buts, there's no uncertainty, there's nothing of that here. Hear what Peter says, and when. He says, when the chief shepherd shall appear. Now friends, we must use this language to ourselves. We must apply this to ourselves, because if we go out in the world, and if we seek to tell people that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return, they'll laugh at us. They'll mock us, as the scriptures clearly prophesied they would. In the latter days, we're told, scoffers shall come. Well, friends, we have them. We have them. And sadly, we have them within the professing Christian church. But we must take our lessons, we must take our teaching, we must take our theology from the Word of God. And the Word of God is quite clear and definite about this matter. Jesus Christ shall return. There's no doubt about it. And friends, if we had this realization before us more and more, oh, it would transform our Christian lives. You see, this present world order will not continue. It will not. There is going to come a day when this world will be wrapped up as we know it. Now, of course, we don't know all the details. There's no need for us to know these things. But we know certain facts about it. And the fact is, Jesus shall return. And there is no question or a doubt about that. And therefore, I want to impress upon you, Christian, you may be struggling. You may be facing persecution. You may be facing difficulties. You may be tiring the way. You may have very major problems or whatever. You must realize all of these things will come to an end one day. Jesus shall return. Behold, the Bible says, he cometh with clouds. He cometh with clouds. And every eye shall see him. Oh, can you imagine that? Every eye shall see him. What does that tell us? Does it not speak of the resurrection? Does it not tell us of the resurrection? Those who have died, they will see Christ coming in the clouds. Every eye shall see him, the Bible says. and all the nations of the earth shall wail and mourn because of him. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, the Bible says. Therefore, let this be established in our minds. This pleasant world order will come to an end, and that day will come when Jesus comes. Well, what else can we say about this coming, this return? Well, friends, notice it is a personal return. It is a personal return. Some people think that Jesus came in some sense when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. That's what some people think. They regard that as the coming of the Lord, and we are not to look for the Lord Jesus Christ to come personally. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches us. We certainly know that at the day of Pentecost, Christ came in a special and a distinct manner. He came by his Spirit, certainly. There's no question about that. But that's not the coming we're talking about. We are looking for a coming of the Lord Jesus when we shall see him with our eyes. Every eye shall see him. Do you remember that time when the Lord was with his disciples on the Mount of Olivet, and he was blessing them? And in the book of Acts, we are told he was there, hands outstretched, and he was blessing his disciples. And then all of a sudden, he begins to rise up before them and disappear into the clouds. The great ascension of the Lord Jesus going from earth into heaven to be received again. And the disciples, as you can understand, as you can sympathize, they were mesmerized. They were looking. There was their Savior disappearing before them. And then suddenly two angels appear. And they say, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." In other words, they received somewhat a rebuke from the angels. Jesus has gone into heaven. What's the point of standing gazing here? You have work to do. Were you not told to remain in Jerusalem? Get back to Jerusalem, and the promise of the Holy Spirit will come. And when that promise comes, you are to go out and to preach the gospel. That's what you're to do. Not to look up there, but to go out into the world. Because the day will come when this Jesus that you saw disappear into heaven, he will come back in the same manner. Personally, we're looking for the visible return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe that, friend? Do you believe it? I do. I most certainly do. And it would change our lives if this was before us, recognizing that one day Christ shall come in all his glory and all his honor. What else can we say then? Well, about this return, not only will it be a personal return, but friends, this is most solemn. It will be a sudden return. Oh, it will be absolutely sudden. You know, there are many signs given to us in the Word of God concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know many things will happen. The Bible talks about it. And in some sense, we are to be prepared for it. Yet, although we've been given signs and we've been given warnings, yet the Bible is quite clear that when Jesus comes, it will be sudden. People will be totally unprepared for his coming. He says it will be like as it was in the days of Noah. What were they doing in Noah? Well, we know they were up to their necks in wickedness. But also, friends, we know that. But also, their lives had a certain amount of normality. They were marrying and giving in marriage. They were eating and drinking. All things that are perfectly normal and natural for people to do. But one day, friends, the flood came. One day the heavens opened and the great oceans of the deep opened and things changed forever in the earth. And they were warned about it for 120 years. And many people laughed at Noah and his preaching, this preacher of righteousness, telling that the great judgment of God was going to come. Oh, they laughed at it. But suddenly one day they saw what was happening and it was too late. And that's what it'll be like when the Lord Jesus returns. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. A thief in the night. Have you ever been thieved, friends? Have you ever come home and found someone's been in your house? He's come unexpectedly. He's come when you've least wanted him. He's come, friends, when you were caught out unawares. That's what it will be like upon the world. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Suddenly, breaking into human history when they're least expecting it, when people are saying peace and safety, when everything is, in some sense, as far as the worldly is concerned, everything's hunky-dory, then watch out. Heaven's Son returns. Well, more than that, friends, not only will it be personal and sudden, but it will be visible. It will be visible. What do I mean by that? Well, when he first came, who saw it? Who knew of it? Very few. But when he returns, friends, you will not need anyone to tell you, oh, Jesus has come. You will not need anyone to phone you up and say, oh, I think the Lord has returned here or the Lord has returned there. No. Far from it. That day when he shall return, every eye shall see him. The whole world will know that Jesus has returned. He himself says concerning his own coming again, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Oh, what a wake-up call that will be to the ungodly. What a wake-up call when they shall see him in all his glory, the whole world at one go. Oh, how can this be? I cannot explain it to you, friends. The Bible does not explain it to us, but it gives us enough for us to understand that his coming will be absolutely visible, crystal clear, to every single individual that is alive at that time. That's what he's telling them about. And would that not comfort them? And would that not encourage them? As these poor believers faced persecution because they belonged to the Lord Jesus, would this not encourage them to go on with their Christian life and profession, no matter what might come upon them? That they know one day things will be changed, wonderfully, gloriously changed, and Jesus shall come, and he shall restore all things. Well, he wants to encourage them, and he wants them to realize that what they're experiencing will come to an end. And he wants them to realize that they are to look above their present circumstances and difficulties, and they're to see what will happen. And this is to encourage them to continue in their great fight of faith. Well, there, first of all, then we have the return. Secondly, we might notice the reward. Ye shall receive a crown of glory. We are happy to tell you, friends, that being a Christian today, we have rewards and benefits because we follow the Lord Jesus. We know that our trials, we know that our difficulties, I don't need to tell you that. You know that yourself. You have experienced them. But friends, we don't want to paint a negative picture of following Christ, because that would not be accurate. We want to tell you clearly, plainly and truly that there are many, many benefits that the people of God experience even today as they follow the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many, many benefits. Is it not true, Christian, that you have inward peace? Is it not true, Christian, that you experience a peaceful conscience? Is it not true that in your days of unbelief, you can remember back to them, you know you did not have the peace that you now enjoy? Oh yes, you maybe loved your sins, you were in love with the world, you loved yourself, but you know that all of these things could not give you peace with God, could not give you a peaceful conscience. But now, since you have embraced the Lord Jesus, is it not true you have this peace now? And does it not delight your soul that you have this inward peace? This is one of the benefits of being with the Lord Jesus Christ, even now. Is it not true that you enjoy the Holy Spirit? Is this not your portion? Is he not our deposit, guaranteeing our eternal redemption? Is this not something that Christ has given to his people, the Holy Spirit? And when we come to read the Word of God, we have the Holy Spirit to help us to understand the Word of God. And he gives us power to live the Christian life. The Lord Jesus has not left us to go through this world without his help, without his power. This is something that you experience. This is one of the blessings that you know here and now as you embrace Christ and as you make your pilgrimage through this world. Is it not true, too, that you have the Savior's presence? Oh, we know we have his promise. But friends, is it not true that on occasions when you are truly following the Lord and you're seeking to be obedient to him, that in some small measure he manifests himself to you? Is it not true on some occasions, maybe when you come to the house of God, or maybe when you attend a communion season or whatever, Christ draws nigh to you in a way that he has not done before? We know the promise is sure and steadfast. Christ has said he will never leave us nor forsake us. Sadly, we don't always experience that in our experience. But there are occasions. There are occasions. Maybe it's in a time of prayer. Maybe it's when we're reading the Word of God. Maybe it's when we're having our own quiet time. We find the Lord drawing nigh unto us. His own sweet presence is there. This is something that the Christian has. And friends, we must realize and feed our faith with this fact that if we are the children of God, if we truly belong to the Lord Jesus, we have this wonderful and glorious promise that providence is working in our favor. Yes, it is. We might not realize it. We might not think it. We might think providence is working against us. But no, that great and wonderful verse in Romans tells us quite clearly, for all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And therefore, our lives may be upside down. We may feel the frown of heaven upon us. But yet, these providences, these sore providences, as they may well be, these difficulties, these trials, they are all working out ultimately for the good of the child of God. And these are things that we experience here and now. And side by side with these blessings, we will have the conflict. We will have to fight against our own indwelling sin. We'll have to fight against the world, and we'll have to fight against the evil one who seeks to bring us down. We'll have to do these battles, and these things will continue until the day when we go the way of all the earth. But one day all of these things will come to an end. That's what he's telling us here. And we shall receive a crown of glory. Now, whatever this is, friends, this is surely teaching us and telling us that all the things that we have put up with, and all the things that have been against us, and all the difficulties, we will simply forget about them in some sense, and we will be taken up and consumed with this crown of glory, with this reward that all the people of God shall be given. But maybe you're saying to me, Minister, surely the reward here is eternal life. Well, friends, I don't believe that's true. The Bible would teach us and tell us that we have eternal life now. Eternal life is not our reward. We are to expect something else. A crown of glory. This is not an easy subject for us to meditate and to expound upon. We have just simply to accept what the Word of God teaches us and tells us. But I don't believe that eternal life is a reward. There's something else for the people of God. And God will wonderfully and gloriously compensate those who have suffered so much because they were the people of God during their earthly pilgrimage. And therefore, we are to encourage ourselves. We live in difficult times, do we not? And we are therefore to fortify our faith with a full realization, yes, we shall indeed be glorified. We shall receive our resurrection bodies. And in some sense, we will receive a crown of glory. I am absolutely convinced, because it's God who gives these things to his people, not one will be disappointed. God has given us enough in the Word of God to whet our appetite as it is, to encourage us that we might be faithful. And when that great and glorious day comes, when the Lord shall return, and his people shall be openly acknowledged before the whole world, they shall receive a crown of glory. Therefore, let us be encouraged. Well, therefore, we have the first, we have the return. Secondly, we have the reward. And friends, thirdly and finally, we might notice its permanency. You shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. We have been trying to draw some lessons from the athletes and what they will do and all the efforts they will put in to try to receive a gold medal and the applause and acclaim of men. But whatever they do on the field, or whatever they do in the sporting arena, and if they are successful, they will have an award for a time and for a season. But their reward and their glory, it shall fade away. And there'll come a time in their lives when they will look back at all that they have put in to get their medal, and they will begin to realize it was not worth it at all, because the glory will ultimately fade and someone else will take over the glory they once enjoyed. But this is not to be for the Christian, friends. It is not to be. because the glory that the Christian enjoys, it will last forever. We are told quite clearly here that fadeth not away. We are told in the book of Revelation about those who were before the throne. The 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne. They cast their crowns before the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do they do this? Well, they recognize they could never have received the crown of glory unless the Lord Jesus Christ had saved them. They recognize it's all of grace. And they cast the crowns before Christ, saying, "Thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." And therefore, as we seek to go through this life and to witness to the Lord Jesus Christ, we must stir ourselves up and take this example before us, and to realize Christ shall return. We shall get a reward, and we shall get a reward that will last throughout all eternity, and it shall never, never fade or pass away. It will never, ever disappoint us. We will never, ever be discontented. Are there one or two lessons then we can learn from this text? Well, certainly there are. In the light of these things, in the light of the glory that awaits the Christian, friends, we are to realize that whatever trials we're going through at this time, as Paul says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We are to realize that things are changing. We are changing. And the Lord is preparing us for glory. And all these difficult things that come upon us will have a positive outcome. Therefore, let us persevere. Let us continue to follow the Lord Jesus. Let us submit then to God's providence. And let us bear his will. It is in some respects relatively easy to do the will of God. That needs to be qualified, I know, but it is relatively easy in some respects to do the will of God. But friends, it takes grace to bear the will of God. There is a subtle difference. And therefore, as Christians, as facing difficulties, we must be like these first century Christians, have the wonderful goal in front of us. Our reward, the return of Christ, things being changed wonderfully and gloriously, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And that's what Peter was seeking to impress upon these early first century Christians. It was all difficult for them. They must realize that things are going to change. And we must realize that too. Do we not live in difficult times? Does it not seem that everything is against the Christian and the Christian church? Is it not true that some are writing the death certificate of the church? We must look at the things that are not seen. What is not seen? It's not seen that Christ shall return. That's not seen. Yet, with the eye of faith, we see it. Do you know, friends, the last glimpse the world got of Christ was on a cross, suffering, bleeding, and died. That was the last view the world got of Christ. Now you might well say to me, oh, but multitudes saw him in his resurrection glory. Multitudes saw him after he was raised from the dead. And I acknowledge that is true. But the scriptures make it very clear, it was only believers that saw Christ in his resurrection glory. All the worldlings saw Christ was on the cross, suffering, bleeding, dying, a pathetic figure. The next view they're going to get of Christ is in glory. That's what awaits them. And that's what we see by faith. At the moment, Christians are despised. But the day will come when they shall receive a crown of glory. We see that by faith. Therefore, let us be encouraged. And let us all strive that we might receive this crown of glory. This crown is only for the people of God. It's only for those who are in Jesus Christ. Therefore, come. Follow him. Come, embrace him. Come, lay aside your hostility. Recognize him as Lord and Savior. Recognize him coming in power and glory. And call upon him that he might save you. Call upon him that he might give you a new nature. Call upon him that he would take away your sins and prepare you for glory. And strive to get this crown of glory that fadeth not away. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Will you? Only in Christ. Amen. May God bless his word to us. Let us pray together.